Oh, isn't that wonderful? That's work, but it's also joy. If we could link those more. When I think about Labor Day, every year my first thought to this day is 9 to 5, what do you do for a job? It's so much more than that. It's what do you do with your time, your talent, your treasures, your energy in the work of your soul, not just the work of your career. And I'm one of those people that I feel very, very blessed. I've had 3 different careers. I was a teacher of the multi-handicapped deaf, and then I went back to school and became a nurse and ended up specializing in rehabilitation for severe illnesses and injuries for children and adults. And then I became a volunteer chaplain at Parkland Hospital. Was one of 8 people that they trained, and then did chaplain studies, and then went to Unity Ministerial School. My dad, when I first was going to go from special ed into nursing, he said, "What are you doing?" He said, "You can't switch careers." He said, "You need to get higher degrees in what you're already doing." Well, my audiology professor said, if you'll study audiology, I'll give you a full ride scholarship. You'll be my PA. You know, what would you do? And it sounded wonderful, but I knew that wasn't what I wanted to do. I knew it wasn't right. So I ended up going and teaching for 5 years. And one of my first students was someone that when I was still in college, I worked with, a little boy named Rudy Navarro, who was 8 years old, born deaf and blind and multi-handicapped. That was part of my soul assignment this time, was to be present with him. I was there the first time he made that link. If anybody's ever seen The Miracle Worker about Helen Keller, that made that link between a sign and what it meant. For him, it was push, swing. You just saw the light go on. Push, to this day, that makes my heart sing. And so I've been doing this, and my dad is like, "Pam, I came back from World War II. I got my bachelor's, my master's, my PhD in finance. You're not supposed to do..." And it was like, I have to trust the guidance. And they said, "Okay, you work as a nurse's aide for the summer. Do the SCUT work. See how you do, and if at the end of that you're still committed, we'll support you in going back to school." So I was off for the summer for a couple of months from teaching, and I went and did that. And at the end of that time, they said, "Are you done with that now?" And I went, "Nope, I need to do it even more." And my mother said, she said, "You have such a tender heart. How can you be a nurse? It will break your heart every day." And I remember thinking about that, and I said, "No, what would break my heart is not being there to help. Because that situation's going to be there whether I'm there or not." And so that was that next soul calling. Bless his heart, I married Lane. We were married, lived in Texas for years with the agreement that at some point we'd live somewhere else. And then Unity of Port Townsend came up. We came to visit our good friends Sarah and Jim, and I got to guest speak 2 Sundays, and you all were looking for a minister. And the rest is history. 18 and a half years later, here we are. And that, I knew, was a divine appointment. And going through that process, as Lane and I navigated, how do we decide to do this? How do we work our marriage around living in 2 places for a while? We had done that when we dated. We met just before I went to ministerial school. I said, "We've got that part down. We know how to love each other and stay connected from afar." And so together, we made that decision. And for me, I'm blessed in that what I do is soul work. You talked about where joy and play and work kind of come together. And there are times I get exhausted. I want to thank you all for supporting me this last month in taking Sunday messages off. I needed some time for that in-breath. And I've done pastoral stuff and all the administrative stuff and helped cover the office, but it's different than the energy that it takes to create a message for you all that hopefully inspires you each week. And so I want to thank you all for the love that you have for me, as well as the love I have for you, that let you all gift me with that. The board, incredibly supportive. Every one of you that I've talked to has said, thank heavens you took some time. Doing our soul work can take many different forms, many different shapes at different points in our lives. I just talked about my career, but I also personally, friends, family, I always wanted to have children, but I was unable to because of a physical condition that was a hormonal imbalance that would not let me have children. And so I just prayed that when the time was right, somehow it would work out. I heard Barbara Marks Hubbard speak at Unity Village, and she said, this is a time of consciousness change where women, there are some women who are going to go from procreation into co-creation. And one's not better than the other. It's you're going to take that generative, creative energy and do something different with it. That was so true. My whole career has been one of service and basically mothering in so many different ways. And then I was blessed to meet Lane, who had 4 grown kids with their partners and then grandkids, and now we've got great-grandkids. And one daughter arrived yesterday from Texas, and the other one's coming in on Tuesday. And so the soul work of doing family together, soul work, take that word work and let it just expand out. Take it out of the puritanical work ethic mode that so much of our country was based on. Let it recognize that work is sometimes, your soul work is picking up the phone and calling somebody who comes across your heart that might need a call. That is just as important as clocking in and doing what is yours to do at a traditional job. It's all part of divine creation. As I was sitting here and you all were playing, I was thinking, something as simple as a potato. We look at a potato, and I mean, oh, good, dinner. But when you think about all of the hands that were part of that potato coming into being, growing up, being harvested, being transported, being put out for me to buy it at the grocery store, check out, take it home, and cook it in an oven that somebody else created, from all kinds of ideas, you realize how incredibly linked everything is. And we tend to compartmentalize. And I think one of the great gifts of Teilhard de Chardin is to realize that everything is interwoven. Everything is interwoven. How we play, how we work, how we sing, how we dance, how we cry, how we howl at the moon, it's all interwoven in life. And so I invite you to look at your work as, what is it you do? What do you really, when it comes down to it, with your time and your energy and your talents, what do you seek to do with it? What floats your boat? What makes your heart sing? And too often we're so concerned with the shoulds that we forget to do the coulds, the possibilities. And being able to get past other people's expectations of what work and success looks like. My dad supported me in making the shift, and then he was basically an agnostic. And so I'm sitting there at breakfast with my parents. I'd gotten laid off from my corporate job and gone to Unity Village for a month, and came back and went back for another month, and then got guidance I needed to apply for a ministerial school. So I'm sitting at breakfast over coffee with my dad, my Virgo logical dad, and I said, I think I'm going to go back to school. And he said, oh. And I said, I just love everything about Unity. I said, I thought I'd be a licensed Unity teacher. That was my goal. And then I got very clear guidance from my dad in spirit after he died. This is yours to do. But over that coffee table, he said something that I have kept with me my whole life, which is, he said, honey, he said, last time when you wanted to change careers, I thought you were wrong. He said, you were right. He said, you've been here to help me. We were hospicing him at that point. And he said, you were meant to do that. And so if you feel like there's something else you need to do, go do it. He had wanted to be a symphonic conductor. And then he went off to World War II, became a pilot, came back and thought, oh, I need something more practical. So he let that go. And at the end of his life, he said, honey, he said, the only thing you'll regret are not the things you do, it's the things you don't do, that you're called to do. He said, try it. If it doesn't work out, you can always go back and do what you did before. What's calling you? It may be a big leap, it may be a little tiny leap. Little leaps are just as important as the big ones, because they move us on a path of faith and expressing the presence of the divine. So work, a big term, Teilhard de Chardin, was one like me that had multiple careers. He was a scientist, he was a Jesuit priest, and then became a writer and a mystic. He lived from 1881 to 1955, and he is one of my great heroes, because he believed that the kingdom of heaven, as Jesus says in the scriptures, is all around, closer than hands and feet, and within us. He believed that everything held divine light. So he got in a lot of trouble with the Jesuits and the Catholic Church, because he didn't believe in original sin. He believed in what Matthew Fox later called original blessing, which also got him excommunicated. And so he believed, he said, up until now, you either love earth or you love heaven. And he said, no, you look at all the world's spiritual traditions. You look at the scriptures that our Christianity is based on, and it's not this or this, it's and. It's all the same. The masters of all the traditions have tried to share and show us that light that infills everything with the life force, the energy, the expression that it is. The quantum physicists now say everything are sparks of light. This is slowed down dense light that happened to take this form. I really like it. But it was a tree at one point. Things can change and take form. And I love when the quantum physicists just get blown away in their work and they realize something that was here suddenly is over there and they have no idea how it got there. The quarks. Creative energy that's sparking all around. Teilhard de Chardin said, at the heart of matter is the heart of God. At the heart of matter is at the heart of God. And he said, leave the surface and without leaving the world, plunge into God. Isn't that beautiful? Don't leave the world. Be in the world, but not of the world. See it with a higher perspective. See it with deeper meaning. And this is something you can do for whatever your soul work is as well. At the heart of the matter of your life is the soul work you've been sent to do. Leave the surface appearance of what you call work or don't call work and dive more deeply into what is this expressing for you, as you, through you. And then recognize that that truly is the presence of the divine in that moment. I got a wonderful card this week from Barbara and Bob Gray, hello, down in Oregon. And with their wonderful love offering, they sent this card, and here was what was in it. A quote from Albert Einstein. Sounds very much like Teilhard de Chardin. Look deep into nature, and then you will understand everything better. Isn't that wonderful? Look into nature, and you'll understand everything better. In the animal kingdom, animals do what they naturally were created to do. They have their own work. It's fascinating if you study ants, the little worker ants, bee kingdom, all of the different animals, the deer here in town, we have lots of those to watch. And they're not going, oh my gosh, I've got to go to work today. They just, I'm stepping into life. If we could do life with more of that energy, how wonderful it would be. Whether we're taking care of loved ones or we're out in the world being active in something that we believe in, those are places where we take our time, our talents, our treasures, our energy, and connect with the world. And that's what we're here to do. And if we don't do that, we might as well not be here. And each one of us is unique. I've always loved that if there was another one just like you, one of you's redundant. And St. Francis talked about how the birds sing these beautiful songs. And one of the reasons they sing, which is their work, so clearly is that none of them are going, uh-oh, I don't sing as good as you do. They just sing their voices. We get so caught up in outer appearances and judgments that it's really important to center in your own truth, your own unique soul calling. And from that place of centeredness, then lead your life and offer your gifts out to the world. I had something that happened to me when I was doing my talk at Unity. The second year of ministerial school, everybody has to do a Sunday talk and plan a service. We were all absolutely terrified. That's when we really got, we're going to be doing this? Like all the time we're going to have to stand up in front of people and do this? As the kid who dropped all of her index cards on the floor in junior high picked them up and just read them non-sequentially because I was so scared and I swore I would never speak in public ever again. I debated with this a lot with God. I'll pray a lot, but don't make me do it aloud with anybody. As a chaplain, my first prayers, I was put out on the unit and they said, go pray with people. I went and prayed with a guy who was comatose. That seemed safer to start with. I moved up from there in terms of my courage level, but I was doing this service for ministerial school And two things happened. The first thing that happened was I'd ask my advisor, who was German and very harsh. She was very tough. She terrified the guys who'd been IBM execs. She became my advisor. I was one of two that got her. I was scared to death. Turns out she loved to study Jung. She and I clicked. She became my guide and a dear friend by the end of school. We went out to lunch after I graduated and said, we're now officially friends. But I was terrified of her at first. So my service comes, I said, please, will you read a passage of scripture for me? And it was the one from 1 Corinthians 13. And it's, even though you move through all these things, you still express love. And she said, what version do you want? And I said, you know, you pick it. I trust you to pick the right one. And I'm sitting there listening in prayer, and she reads the passage, and it's, even though I pass through the fire, love endures. I had some past life remembrances or some archetypal remembrances of fear of what happened when I used my voice. In that moment, it was like, wow, I survived that, I'm back, and I can still be love in the world. So that finishes, and I think, wow, I just had my aha soul unfolding moment in my chapel service. And then I get up and I'm doing my message, reading my outline, probably clutching the podium. That's how I started. And I look back, and two of my classmates in the back, who were the ones that were always kind of snarky. Even in ministerial school, you have people who are a little snarky. Back in the back, the two that were frequently snarky about things were talking and laughing. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm giving a horrible message. They're laughing at me. Oh my gosh, what do I do? And it was like the room stopped. And Spirit said, Pam, if you're not willing to stand in your truth, regardless of what people are saying, then pick up your script, walk down the aisle, and leave. Are you willing to stand in your truth, even when it's hard? Took me a second. Yes. Yes, I am. And then it was like I just picked up my talk. I later watched the video because I sure was sure there was this time where I was going, love is da 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 da. Love is da-da-da-da-da. There was not a pause. It was a moment outside of time and space that called me to what he said in this piece, this integrity. May integrity of your soul be your first ideal, the source that will guide and bless your work. So I was like, wow. Okay, I'm going to, and I've remembered that for almost 30 years ago when I was ordained, 28 years ago now. And the interesting thing was the next day I go to class and I've had this aha about it doesn't matter if people are laughing at me, I need to have the courage. And I come in and those two classmates come up to the coffee pot or we're pouring coffee, they said, Pam, we want to apologize for yesterday. She had just gotten a letter from her son, who she hadn't heard from in forever, and it had a really funny piece in it, and they were laughing about the card. It had nothing to do with me at all. How often have all of us, I know I continue to have to strive with this, allowed that outer perception of work and what's right and how it's supposed to look and what you're supposed to do dictate how you are living your uniquely, divinely gifted life. And so I invite you this Labor Day weekend to see, another term for labor is giving birth. Allow your labors, your work, to expand your perception of who you are and the gifts you are here to bring. And allow yourself to labor and work in giving birth to new things. Have the courage, and it takes courage. Every Sunday, I have to take a breath before I stand up here and center and just ask to be a channel to do what I've been sent to do. And to be as clear as I can with that. Each one of us gets to do that every day, no matter what kind of work you do, however big or small, however exalted or seemingly lowly it may be. If it's done with love, with soul, with caring, there is no greater grace and gift that you can offer, not only to others, but to yourself. Because think about times in your life where you've trusted that inner guidance and you've done something and you've made a difference in the world. How wonderful that feels. One of the truly wonderful things is to not only share your gifts, but receive the gifts of others. Allow others to share and be willing to receive what they have to offer. And in that spirit, I want to thank Karen for the wonderful two messages she gave, and to Tom Drake for the amazing message he gave last Sunday. You all supported me. You're part of my in-breath, but I also honor and thank you for sharing your gifts. And that the board and all of you had the wisdom to let me breathe. Because in that came these amazing gifts you wouldn't have received otherwise. We are so blessed to live in this world together. So this Labor Day, don't think 9 to 5, unless it's Lily Tomlin and Jane Fonda and Dolly Parton. That's okay. That's job out of the box. Allow yourself to think about the energy of your life and consciously, what do you want to do moving forward with your time, your talent, your treasures, your touch, your presence? You might just rearrange your life a little bit and be sure you have enough time for the in-breath, the holding, and the out-breath. Let us pray. Sweet, sweet Spirit, abiding presence of the divine, in you we truly live and move and have our being. Ah, but what a mystery it sometimes is. Let us open to embrace the mystery, to find our divinely appointed path, to have the courage to share the gifts that are ours to share, and the vulnerability to receive the gifts that others offer to us. May we see the great unfoldings of the world and the universe as works of the divine. May we see us and our lives as unfolding works of the divine. May we remember every day that at the heart of matter is the heart of God. At the heart of what we do with matter is the heartbeat of our own soul. For this time together that lets us be renewed, restored, and rededicated on this amazing journey we call life, We are so incredibly thankful, and we go forth blessed and blessing to practice the presence of the divine and having the joy of seeing it twinkling with little lights from everywhere we look. And so it is. Om, amen, and blessed be.